turn to Luke chapter 2. And good evening and Merry Christmas to you. What a thrill just to be together. Yeah, it's a thrill. What a great God that we love and know and serve. So I'll wait till you get those. Again, Luke chapter 2. And let me begin reading here. And I will read several verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they're excited. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by this Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" And of course, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let me pray. Father, thank you for this. This is not just a story. It really happened. There really was a day when the Creator, God, Almighty God, took on human flesh and came to this earth because we had such a grave problem we could not overcome in and of ourselves. We cannot be good enough to overcome our sin. And so you sent a Savior, your salvation, your promised Messiah. And we're so grateful tonight to just have this great hope, to celebrate this season that we get to celebrate, this Christmas season, and thank you for him. So Lord, just bless this short time as we're in your word and the wonderful time of communion as we celebrate the end of his life on this earth. So thank you for these things, Lord. Bless this time now. And we're thankful for your presence, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of interesting on these nights to come and celebrate the birth of Jesus, and by the end of the night, we'll celebrate communion, the death of Him. But of course, He came here for many reasons, but the primary reason, of course, to live this perfect life, to then provide a remedy for our sins. And so it's a glorious time just to sit on nights like this and remember what He has done for us, celebrate this wonderful Jesus, and to just think about what He has done for us. Isn't it great just to sit sometimes and ponder that God loved you and I so much? Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, all Jesus had to do in Genesis 1 was speak, and He spoke this world into existence. So powerful, so strong, so wise, and yet He came down to this earth to pay for our sins. It's just an amazing thing to think of this little child coming in the form of a baby with all of the physical limitations He took on. And He did all of that simply because He is so in love with you. He's so in love with me that He would want to provide this remedy for us. So as we peruse these 35 verses tonight, it's just a glorious thing just to know He loves me. He loves me. The very fact that He gave this great gift, the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind, the baby Jesus, nothing even close, you can know tonight He loves you. He is a great God and a great Savior. Now, I just do want to peruse these. My heart's really wanting to focus mainly tonight on this wonderful man, Simeon, near the end of his life, who was so blessed to see an answer to some things the Holy Spirit had shared with him. But we'll quickly go through here. It's interesting to look in the beginning that a census had gone out, a decree for a census to be taken. And it really needed to happen because it had been prophesied many hundreds of years prior to this that the Messiah, the Christ who would come into the world, would be born in the city of Bethlehem. In fact, in Micah chapter 5, a prophet, again, many hundreds of years earlier wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." Now, you and I look at that and say, praise the Lord for this. Of course, God knew the future. He knew that there would be a day this poor woman, 9 months pregnant, you think about what she went through. I mean, it's one thing to get into a nice big car when you're starting to deliver. Maybe your water's broken and you're going to be, okay, let's just rush to the hospital or call the ambulance and let's get down there. But 9 months pregnant and you're going to get on a donkey and go approximately 80 miles in a caravan. It said the caravans in that day traveled sometimes roughly 20 miles a day, at least 4 days, more likely 4 to 7 days. They would have been worried about miscarrying and all kinds of other issues going through a rough terrain here. And yet they went through all of that for us. Not a fancy SUV, not this soft ride to get there. She went that whole distance, and then her husband Joseph taking care of her, nurturing her to get to this place. And she's about to birth the most important person that has ever taken on human flesh, and then couldn't even find a proper place for him to stay. And they take him to this inn where there was no room in the inn, and they end up in the stable, and then they deliver this amazing child here, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger, nothing more than a feeding trough for the animals. What kind of a Savior do we have tonight? I mean, what humility it takes to come here and show us this. As we sang that song tonight, what kind of king? I mean, what the kings of this world, man, the pomp and everything that goes with the birth of their children, wow. And yet God comes so humbly into this world, and because of His tremendous love for us. And so that's what we are introduced to today. Then God is so excited about this scene, He's got to tell somebody. You ever get that secret you just can't hold in anymore and you got to tell somebody? Well, it's time. He is here. He's come to this earth. And so God sends an angel to speak to the shepherds. Notice here that the angel told them, don't be afraid. You see that there in verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. Angels, I think, is on here representing the Lord. They don't waste words. I think they were terrified. Those shepherds are in the field and an angel shows up, and they know that angel can wipe them out in one moment's notice. And He tells them, do not be afraid. And then notice what He tells them, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. But it's so wonderful to see these good tidings of great joy. But I want you to notice the last two words of verse 10, which will be to all people. This is available to everybody. Every single person that has ever lived has had an opportunity to turn to this wonderful Jesus, this Savior of the world, having come as a baby and then lived that perfect life and go to a cross for us. It is available to all, to everybody. And it is so glorious. And in fact, the Bible is very clear. It's God's desire that every single person would be saved, would come to a knowledge that we are a sinner. I need a Savior. I needed someone who would pay the penalty for my sins. And so that is this Jesus that is here that the angel is speaking of. That's why it's good tidings of great joy, because He is the answer to our need. And so they told Him, there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then He tells them, this is going to be a sign to you. And what would it be? A babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. For God to come and tell them there's going to be a baby, I think they would have expected some amazing thing, some amazing place. And yet to come to a stable and to come to a baby, that's a sign. And it's an amazing sign of the God that has sent His Son. And then notice in verse 13, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising, and then they said some things. Now, I think, personally, that God was very gracious by sending one angel. They were terrified at one angel. I think they would just fall over dead if they'd all shown up at one time, the whole heavenly host. So He softened them up to the thought. And now all of these heavenly hosts, a multitude of angels, are praising the Lord. Heaven is so excited about this gift. You ever had that gift at Christmas? You're just so excited. Maybe tomorrow, you're waiting now, even tonight. You're a little anxious. You want to get to sleep. And I was already told tonight, one little guy wants to get home. Can't wait to go to sleep. So to wake up tomorrow. But that gift, you just can't wait for them to open that gift. Oh, I just want you to see it. I can't wait for you. And God's feeling the same way. And so they're proclaiming glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so the angels went away, and then notice what happened. Well, they just couldn't help themselves, of course. How many of you have seen an angel before and known it? Any of you? I don't know. They saw one and then a multitude. Would you stay where you were, or would you go do something about it? You go check it out. What is this great sign? I've got to see it. I've got to go see what they're telling me about. So they came. In fact, we were told again, they came in haste. They couldn't wait to see this thing. Well, they found them. It's beautiful. They found Mary. They found Joseph. They found the babe lying in the manger. And then when they had seen Him, they made widely known. And they were immediately witnesses, immediately faithful to just proclaim the simple witness of what they have seen about this wonderful baby Jesus. And so they told everybody, and everybody marveled at what the shepherds had told them. And I wonder, this here, this verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Sometimes I just wonder, what was a quiet night like for Mary with Jesus growing up? What was that like, having the perfect child? I know none of you mothers know what that feels like, raising the perfect son or daughter. I mean, I feel sorry for the older brothers, right? There's four of them listed in the Gospels, four other siblings. I mean, how many times do you think they may have been, maybe Mary was tempted to say, why can't you be like your brother Jesus? Well, he's got a little advantage, he's God. I know He's fully human, but man, He has a little advantage over me. So I can't measure up. I don't think they actually did that to the other siblings. But I just wonder, how many things did she just, man, did I really hear it right? Who is this child? She needed Him to be her Savior as much as any other woman, any other man that has ever lived. She was a great woman, but she was a sinner too. She needed a Savior. And so she's pondering these things in her heart, just mulling it over. It's such an amazing scene to me. And then after that, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And then the Lord even takes the time to record for us their obedience. I love this picture of obedience. I love we've been studying the Old Testament on Wednesday nights and just seeing how often the Lord records His people's obedience. We think so much of the Israelites and all of their many times of disobedience. We record many cases of their obedience. And notice these wonderful parents, Mary and Joseph. And when it was 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, they called His name Jesus. So they had Him circumcised on the eighth day. That was a command given in the law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 12. The angel had told her in chapter 1, it's recorded for us, that Gabriel told her, you will name him Jesus. They were obedient to that. And then they even brought the offerings and the sacrifices that were required to bring for a child when they reached 40 days old. For a boy it was at 40 days, for a girl it was at 80 days. They would come and bring offerings to the temple. And so they did that. We also know a very interesting insight that they were quite poor. Because you'll notice at the end of verse 24, they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that was the law. They could bring either one of those two. The average person was supposed to bring a lamb and a young pigeon or a turtle dove. But for the poor, they could bring two pigeons or two turtle doves. And they did that because they were very poor. And so he wasn't born into a wealthy family. In every way, he had him come in such a humble, humble way to this earth. Just beautiful. That's the heart of our God. And now we come into this man by the name of Simeon. And I really love the scene here with this man. And I want to point out several things about him tonight and things that he was told about Jesus and the excitement he had towards this Messiah that had come into the world, and then many of the things that he said. But notice first what we're told about this man Simeon in verse 25. Number one, he was from Jerusalem. This was his stomping ground. This is where he was, where the temple was. And he was staying in that area. His name was Simeon. Now, it's very interesting. His name actually literally means hearing. Or one of the other meanings of his name is hearkening, which really means to listen attentively. So it's very interesting because we're going to see in a minute the Holy Spirit told him some things. Well, he was a listening man. And so it was pretty easy for him to hear from the Holy Spirit. As we all work at trying to be quiet before the Lord and grow in our quiet time, grow in our hearing the voice of the Lord. But he was a hearing man. And he was just, and that's the word for righteous. He was a righteous man because of his faith in God and in this coming Savior. And he was devout, meaning good or well. And notice here that he was waiting. He was patient, waiting for the consolation of Israel. They needed a consolation. The word consolation is interesting. It sounds negative, but the word means encouragement or comfort or exhortation. He was waiting for this exhortation. He was waiting for this encouragement. He was waiting for this comfort of Israel. And notice also the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now that's something. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is not recorded as having come upon very many people. But he did come upon some prophets, and he came upon Saul and some other people. And yet here we see he was upon this man. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now can you put yourself in this man's shoes to love the Lord and be living your life in love with the Lord, serving the Lord, and have the Holy Spirit tell you, before you physically die, you will see the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's pretty amazing to think about. I mean, I think maybe the equivalent in our day could be, what if the Lord were to come to you tomorrow and say, before you die, you will see the rapture of the church? That would be great. I'd be pretty thrilled about that, to know that I'm going to get to see Jesus even before I die. And I wouldn't even have to experience death. That'd be even better, to just get to be translated up to the Lord. But this man had been told he was going to see the Lord's Christ. And even the Holy Spirit led him into the temple. Notice verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was even hearing him in a moment-by-moment basis so that the Lord could lead him. And this is a man that was an attentive hearing man. And I think that's why he experienced such a great relationship with the Lord. So notice what happened. The parents were brought in. They brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, to offer these offerings to the Lord. So he's 40 days old at this point. And they took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He blessed God. And now notice the things that he said. Some pretty amazing things. And again, Joseph and Mary are listening to these words saying, wow, what is this? I really wonder how much had really sunk in their hearts and minds. How much of what's going on here did it really register to them? But he said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I'm ready to die. It doesn't get any better than this, to see the Savior face to face. That's all of our cries, is one day to see him face to face and be with him forever. And this man was so thrilled that he got to see this wonderful baby Jesus And it was according to your word. He believed God. When God made him a promise, he believed him. And so he said, according to your word. It's a wonderful thing to know the word of God and be able to even quote God's promises. That's never an insult to God. He loves keeping his promises. He'll always keep his promises. But why was it he was so excited there? Notice verse 30. He said, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Not my salvation, not my plan, not what I have worked up to make my way into heaven. Lord, this is your plan, your deal. You're the faithful one. You're the one that has provided a Savior. I'm the one that is grateful to you for this great salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. What a thrill for this man. I just can imagine what was going through his heart and mind. And then he even tells us, and you have prepared this before the face of all peoples. He wanted everybody in the world to see before them, put before them, this Jesus, that he is in fact the answer to man's prayers, the light of the world, the bread of life, all the different things that are said of him. He is the Christ, the promised Messiah. All the fulfillment of prophecies were met in him. And then on top of that, verse 32, he is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And that's a blessing to hear. You can see here this man wasn't a prejudiced man. He wasn't upset that the Gentiles were going to get to be accepted. The Jews looked really down upon the Gentiles, and many of them lived really horrible lives in this time. And yet he was thrilled that God had a plan for the whole world, not just for the Jewish people. So he was a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And he was the glory of them. Of course, he physically came of the line of the Jews because he came through Mary. But he was the glory. God's been very clear in his word. He will not give his glory to another. He'll share it with us. We'll get to experience it. But he will not give his glory to another. He's the only God. He's the only God that ever was, ever will be. All three members of the Godhead. And so the glory of your people. And now we see the just Joseph and Mary, what they did when hearing these things. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled. Of course they did. They marveled at those things which were spoken of him. But he's not quite done yet. Then Simeon blessed them. He was just praising God, just so excited about what he'd seen. But I want you to notice now, he actually turns directly to Mary. Notice he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Wow. What would you think if you were there holding your firstborn son, 40 days old, and somebody says that to you? He will be the rising and the falling of many in a nation. And that's what Jesus is. And then I find his last comment to be very interesting. He tells Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Now, I don't know about you, but the intensity of the emotions Mary must have experienced raising him, and then seeing him put upon a cross, and know that he died for her and for the rest of the world, surely her soul was pierced. And it's also interesting to me, this word sword here, it's just interesting to me in terms of timing, because just this last Sunday we talked about a sword in the book of Revelation. There's two different swords used in the New Testament. One is a small sword that's used more in hand-to-hand combat. Even can be used smaller, speaking of a dagger, more like almost like a pocket knife. But, you know, the closer, shorter swords. But the word here used is the big one. 4 to 6 foot long sword took two hands to handle. It was so large. And with one swing could literally cut a person in two. And that's the one. And it typically speaks of judgment. And even right here at 40 days old, this man is telling her that he has come to judge this world. Not in his first coming. But ultimately, he is the judge of the universe, the judge of the world. And he says, and this sword will pierce through even your own soul. And I just can't imagine the thought of her looking up at that cross at the end of his life. My son, the perfect son, who brought me nothing but joy because he was such an incredible son to be put upon a cross. She knowing he never sinned. She saw him. If anybody knows you're a sinner, it's your family, right? They've seen you in the bad times. They know it. But she knew he wasn't. She knew he was the perfect Lamb of God, certainly by the end of his life. And so her soul was pierced as well. And that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You come to Jesus, it does reveal your heart. You have to take a stand one way or the other. You have to take a stand. Tonight's a night of rejoicing because we get to celebrate that He came here because He loves me. He loves you. And you've been able to make a choice to say, yes, I want Him. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, it's a very simple decision to say, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I could never be good enough to overcome my sin because God's perfect. There's no other way to get to heaven but through perfection. And only Jesus did it. So if you'll put your faith and your trust in Him to get you into heaven, you will be saved. It's that simple. The Bible's so clear, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you just trust Him, truly trust Him, not trust in your works anymore, not trust in being a good enough person, you can't be good enough, you can be saved. And it's that simple. And then your heart would be revealed to have now been faithful to trust Him as Lord and Savior. And so that's what God has for us. Tonight, a night to rejoice, to say thank you, God, that you sent this Savior, this wonderful little beautiful baby, who is going to grow up and pay for the sins of the world. There has never been a gift even remotely close to the blessing of this baby Jesus. And so we get to worship Him and celebrate Him. The reason as a believer we can put our heads on our pillows at night and have a peace is because of Him. No one else. And so we get to rejoice in Him and thank the Lord that we have a peace today. So let's remember Him. And now we turn and truly we start to think about the end of His life, and I have talked a lot about that. But we're going to celebrate communion because the Lord commanded us when we come together that we should celebrate communion, because without that going to the cross, without Him dying and being risen from the dead, we would have no hope, because in dying He paid for our sins, and in raising He proved He has power over death, and He offers us that powerful life by His Holy Spirit. And so we're going to actually celebrate communion here in just a minute. In fact, if the worship team would come back up here, we're going to pass out the bread. They're going to sing us a song as we pass out the bread. I'm going to ask you to hold that, and then we will pray together. And we'll pray together. But if you've never received Him, as I mentioned before, you can simply pray right now quietly and say, Lord, thank you for having come as a baby onto this earth. Thank you for living 33 years of a perfect life and going to a cross to die for me. And the greatest gift you can give God tonight is your will and your life, and surrender and submit to Him. And He would lovingly, gladly receive you. Doesn't matter what you've done. He's paid for it all. Every sin we've ever committed, put upon that cross. And then you can celebrate communion and rejoice in it. So we'll pass that out. You can ponder these things, and we'll get to remember Him and Him going to the cross for us.